Well, my dad used to say one good way of knowing that the devil doesn't have you is because he's always after you. Well, some of you look like the devil's been after you, I'll assure you. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. And I hope that we can arm against Satan and be prepared for all the wiles of the devil. Remember the Apostle Paul, when he admonishes the Christian to dress up, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm glad you're here tonight to hear the word of God. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Daniel again, chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, and I'm going to read two verses that we read last week in our introduction to the message, The Universal Conflict in the World of the Unseen Spirits. I shall read from Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 and verse 20, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are indeed thankful for the wonderful Word of God. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us in written word the prescription that we need to fight off the wiles and the fiery darts of the wicked one. We realize tonight that we are living in a very treacherous time. We realize that we are living in the last days. We believe the coming of Christ is at hand. We pray tonight that we might conduct our lives and our ministries and our church in view of the coming of Christ, that we might so operate and so occupy faithfully until the day dawns and the Lord Jesus Christ makes His glorious appearing. We pray tonight that Thou wouldst direct us as we move through this message on demons and demonology. We pray that we might be aware of the tactics of Satan, that we might know our enemy and know the weapon that we can use against him. Help us, we pray, to look into Thy Word and to become equipped and informed and become armed by the Scripture, that we might wage a war of victory against Satan and his angels in this demon-stricken world of ours. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And verse 20, then said he, that is the angel, knowest thou wherefore or why I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. The angel notifies Daniel that he had been delayed for 3 weeks in coming to bring the answer to his prayer and the written guarantee of victory over his enemy. The angel admits in verse 20 that when he is finished and he goes back to again wage the war with angelic demon forces, that once the kingdom of Persia has run its course, the kingdom of Greece will also be ruled over, operated, influenced, controlled by demonic powers. We established last week in our message that Satan rules over two kingdoms. One, the realm of the spirit world, fallen spirits, and two, the cosmos. We noted that the word cosmos appears 187 times in the New Testament. Of that 187 times, it is rendered in our English, world. One time, it is rendered age. The world system, the cosmos, is ruled over by Satan. This world system is totally evil. Now remember, the devil does not do away with all good. There is good in government, there is good in culture, there is good in other areas of our civilization, in the institutions that make up our Western civilization and the other civilizations of the world. But basically, this evil system, this cosmos, this world system is totally depraved. It is totally evil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the god of this world system. This world system is no friend to help us to God. No wonder John said, love not the world, the world system, neither the things that are in the world system. For he that loveth the world system, the love of God is not in him. No wonder Jesus said, this world system hates you, because it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world system, the world would love its own. But you are not in this or of this world system. Therefore, the world hateth you. There is a conflict, a universal conflict, a diabolical scheme on the part of Satan to attempt to overthrow the powers of God. Now, Satan knows, and I believe this with all of my heart, Satan is aware of his final doom. Therefore, I believe that Satan in this 20th century is on his last fling. He's doing everything that he can to hinder the gospel. He's doing everything that he can to warp the minds and thinking of men. He's on his last roundup, his last fling, before he is cast into the lake of fire, where also the Antichrist and the false beast will be shaken by the Lord himself and cast alive into an eternal inferno, an everlasting fire, an everlasting lake of fire. But while the devil has authority in the world system, he's working overtime. Satan's activity is both internal and external. Satan works within the mind, within the heart. He works within the body. He works within the family. He works within the home. He works within the church. He works within governmental circles. His work is internal. Satan has the power of mental suggestion. I read in John chapter 13 and verse 2, that Satan put it in the heart of Judas to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Mental suggestion. Satan has the power of verbal expression. He said to the woman in the Garden of Eden, thou shalt not surely die. He has furthermore the power of physical possession. I read in John 13:27. That Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Physical possession. Satan entered into the body and mind and soul of Judas Iscariot. The power and work of Satan is not only internal, but it's external. The times in which we live are the most critical, violent, restless days in the history of mankind. Never before have we lived in such an hour. The dope rings, the dope traffic, sex, pornography, murder, crime, rebellion. These are outward manifestations of the inward control of Satan. We have come, as we've said before, to an hour when we are worshiping the gods of pleasure and the gods of madness and the gods of sex. The number one god in the world tonight is the god of sex. Now you heard about and read about, I hope you didn't see it, But in the centerfold of a recent national magazine, there was the picture of a nude man. Don't be surprised, there'll be much more of that. Because not only is there a revival of worship of the female sex, there's a revival of the worship of the male sex. Just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like it was in the days of Rome. It's coming to America. It's already here. We're living in that hour. We're living in that age. We're living in that time. You can go to any bookstore or newsstand in this city and just accidentally brush by a magazine and pick it up, and you'll see things that you wouldn't have dreamed of a few years ago. Homosexuality. The homosexuals and the lesbians are taking over in the world tonight. I know I've said this before, and some of my Democratic friends don't like it. But at the Democratic convention, if you weren't black or a homosexual, you didn't stand a chance. That's just the way it is. Beloved, the homosexuals and the sex perverts are taking over. And we lift our voice against these things and pornography and all of that. And somebody says, well, nobody's ever... I've read this by psychologists in newspapers and magazines. Nobody has ever been excited by looking at a magazine picture or reading a pornographic book. Did you see in the paper the other day where a 16-year-old boy raped his own 8-year-old sister and said just before it he'd been reading pornographic literature? Did you read in the paper where a boy butchered and murdered and sexually molested an 85-year-old woman and they found pornographic literature in his home and in his car? Don't tell me it doesn't excite a mind that's already possessed of the devil. It does. And the violence and the crime and the sex and the perversion and promiscuity of our day, these are manifestations of the power of the devil in our world tonight. You try to cry out against it and the door's shut. Why, we've been working on through one of our radio men, Brother Pat Giffins, trying to get on some more radio stations. They say, no, we won't sell you any time. We've tried the television stations. They say, no, we won't sell you any time. Beloved, we're living in an hour. My dad said this 25 years ago. My dad said 25 years ago, the time will come if you don't belong to the National Council of Churches, you won't have a radio program or a TV program or even an advertisement in the newspaper. We've almost reached that place tonight. The door is shut to a voice that will cry out against these things of our age and of our day. Beloved, I believe that we ought to wake up and open our eyes and see what the devil is doing. Why do we have so much dope? And why do we have so many murders and so much crime and rebellion and violence and restlessness? Why? The devil and his demons are at work in the closing days of this age. What are demons anyhow? Demons are bodily spirits. They are angels of the devil. They have no material body, therefore they seek a home within the bodies of people. Bodiless spirits seeking a home within the body of a person. Where did these demons originate? We believe that when Satan fell, he carried angels, a host of them, with him. The Bible says so. Some of these are chained in darkness, reserved unto the day of judgment. According to Hebrews 2:24 and Jude verse 6. Others of them multiplied thousands, uncounted, unnumbered angels, fallen angels, satanic angels, devil's angels are free, abroad in the world tonight, assisting Satan in his program of evil. It was true in the days of Daniel. It's true tonight. Satan was the god of the present age, and Satan was the god of the prince and prince of the power of the air in Daniel's day. Even withstanding and hindering and delaying an angel of God, the devil is powerful. Don't sell him short. He transforms himself into an angel of light. But someone might ask, do you really believe that demons exist? Emphatically, yes. Do we have proof? Yes, the Word of God is proof. The world of nature is proof. The history of pagan and idol religions and false religions are proof. Human experience is proof that demons exist tonight. Throughout the Bible, the word devils and evil spirits, and in the margin, it's always rendered demon. Demons are existing in our world tonight for two purposes. One, to hinder the plan of God for His people. And two, to extend the power and authority of Satan. What are some of the characteristics of demons? Demons are personalities. They have intellect. They can speak. They can act. They can exercise control in governments and in people. This is the characteristic of the devil, the demons that exist in our world tonight. They are invisible. We don't see them. They cannot be seen. They live in the unseen world of spirits. I have been in services. I have conducted funerals. I have been in churches when I felt what I thought must surely have been the powers of the demons from hell. And others of you have had the same experience. Unseen, invisible, but present just the same. They are powerful. They destroy the mind. They wreck the life. They disease the body. They are malicious. They are vile. They are degenerate. They are impure. They are deceptive. They are diabolical. They make you believe wrong is right. This is the work of the demons. What about demon possession? What do we mean by demon possession? Here's the definition of demon possession. A condition in which one or more evil spirits inhabit the body of a human being, taking complete control of his victim at will. The possession within a body of one or more. The operation of demons is like a proprietor of a house. He may live a while here and move somewhere else for another while. Demons come and go. When the demons are away, life is normal. When the demons are, quote, at home, life is abnormal. Let me give you an example. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. Let me read just a few verses for you. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first state. The last state is worse than the first. The demons move out of a man. The man cleans himself up, is cleaned up. When the demon comes back and finds it swept out, he goes and gets seven others and brings them in, and the last state is worse than the first. This is the operation of demons in the world tonight. Demons, we must distinguish between demon possession and demon influence. Are people really possessed by demons? To say that a person is demon-possessed is one thing. To say that a person is influenced by a demon is something else. Now, I firmly believe that a lot of Christians are influenced by the devil. For example, when a man quits going to church, I believe he's influenced by the devil. I surely don't think he's influenced by God. Do you? When a man quits soul winning and tithing and serving God, do you think God is the author of that? No. He's influenced by Satan and his demonic powers in the world. On the other hand, I believe there are individuals who are possessed of the devil. Demon possessed. In New Testament times, this was very evident. Listen to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. And when he, that is Jesus, was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. They caused dumbness, that is, the inability to speak. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. They caused blindness, inability to see. Matthew 12, 22. They caused deformities. Luke 13, 11 through 17. They cause insanity. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through verse 35. But someone asks, what about today, the 20th century? Are people demon-possessed? I believe the only reasonable answer is Y-E-S, yes. Let me quote to you from one of the most respected authorities of our century. Dr. Louis Schaeffer, who's the founder of the Dallas Theological Seminary and author of a work called Systematic Theology that's recognized all over the world in conservative circles. Let me tell you what he says about that. I quote Dr. Louis Schaeffer. The question is often raised whether demon possession obtains at the present hour. Although the authentic records of such control are almost wholly limited to the 3 years of the public ministry of Jesus, it is incredible that demon possession did not exist before that time or has not existed since. In this connection, it should be remembered not only that these beings are intelligent themselves, but they are directly governed and ordered by Satan, whose wisdom and cunning are so clearly set forth in the Scriptures. It is reasonable to conclude that they, like their monarch, are adapting the manner of their activity to the enlightenment of the age and the locality. It is evident that they are not now less inclined than before to enter and dominate a body. Demon possession in the present time is probably unsuspected because of the generally unrecognized fact that demons are capable of inspiring a moral life as well as of appearing as the dominating spirit of a spiritist medium, or through the grosser manifestations that are recorded by missionaries concerning conditions which they observe in heathen lands. These demons, too, like their king, will appear as angels of light as well as roaring lions, when by the former impersonation they can more perfectly further the stupendous undertakings of Satan in his warfare against the work of God. The reason we do not recognize them as such, they are stepping up their operation in keeping with the enlightenment of the age and the geographical location. The devil is wise. I ask you, have we not every reason to believe that the irrational, inconsistent, sadistic behavior of certain people stems from the fact that these people are either influenced or possessed by demon spirits? I believe they are. I believe they are. What about demon worship? Man is by nature a worshiper. He will worship someone or something. He will either worship a God or the God. He will either worship himself or another person. He will either worship an idol, or he'll worship money or pleasure or science or knowledge. He'll worship something. Therefore, the devil seeks to turn men away from the true God to worship false gods and to worship himself. This is all in preparation for the Antichrist when he forces men to bow down and worship him. There is a group in our country known as the devil worshipers. They have their own churches. They have their own congregations. They have their own priest. They carry on their own ceremonies, their own ritual. In some of the area of the devil's activity, I believe tonight, is in the so-called seance. When someone says they are communicating with the spirits of the departed dead. I believe that's of the devil. Spiritism, I believe, that belief that the spirits survive and can be communicated with after death, I believe that's of the devil. witches and warlocks. I believe that's of the devil. A witch is defined as a woman who supposedly has supernatural power with the devil. A warlock is the male counterpart of a witch. 5,000 witches are in New York City. 10,000 witches are in Los Angeles County. 100,000 witches are in the United States. Billy Graham said the other night, and I quote, one out of every five people in Great Britain are in contact with witches. That's a nation that's taken over almost by witches. And it's moving to our shores. In Oklahoma City, in downtown, there's a witch store where the people can go buy their potents and their black magics and so forth and so on to operate their witchery. That's Oklahoma City. That's close by. If we were to go out into the underworld gang of our city, we'd uncover witches tonight. People who are demon-possessed. People who have sold out to the devil and are practicing black magic and witchcraft. It's of the devil. Beloved, anything that's not of God is of the devil, and I don't believe that stuff is of God. The zodiac, astrology, a false science. It's not a science at all. It's a pseudo or false science. The horoscope, the Ouija board, all of this. I believe this is of the devil. I don't believe that's God inspired. All of the prognosticators, the fortune tellers, the Gene Dixons, the black magic worshipers, I believe they are of the devil. Because I don't believe God operates in that manner. And there aren't but two forces in the world tonight, the power of God and the power of Satan. And I do not believe these things are ordained of God. I believe they are satanically inspired and demon inspired in the world tonight. Why such demon possession? Why such satanic activity? To snare and trap the minds of men. To turn men away from the truth. To make men believe that religion is the same with Christianity. To get men to fix their minds on this life, on this world system. To undermine the effectiveness of God's word. To turn men away from and sidetrack them from the church. I believe the church is the most important organism in all the world tonight. I believe God is working through the church. I believe God will continue to work through the church. Beloved, we ought to count it a blessed privilege and an honor to be a member of the church. And I believe members of the church ought to support the church and be a part of it. I don't believe people who never darken the door of the church ought to be given the honor and maintain the privilege of calling themselves church members. I really don't. Beloved, I believe if a man's going to be a member of something, he ought to be in it. Amen. And a part of it. And work for it and support it and defend it. Amen. I believe in the church. And the devil wants to sidetrack people away from the church. He wants to sidetrack people away from the Bible. He wants to minimize the gospel. He wants to counteract man's faith in God. You know what? If the devil can get people to listen to these fortune tellers and palm readers and crystal ball gazers and stargazers and card stackers, he'll get their minds off the Bible. And the devil knows that the Bible is the only weapon that'll defeat him. The devil knows that. So if he can get men to looking at the stargazers and the prognosticators and the witches and warlocks and all of that, he'll get their minds off the book. And this is the weapon that defeats him. Thank God we have the answer. The devil is a liar. Jesus Christ is true. The astrological tables, the zodiac charts, the horoscopes, and all the rest are no match for the living book of God. The witches and the warlocks and the prognosticators and fortune tellers and card stackers and palm readers are no match for the prophets of God and the preachers of God's word. We've got the answer. What can we do to defeat the power of the devil and demons in our world tonight? I suggest four things. Number one, be informed. An uninformed person becomes a misinformed person. Be informed. Secondly, believe that God is sovereign and His will be executed on earth. Three, give no place to the devil. Mentally, morally, socially, spiritually, nor academically, give no place to the devil. And four, refrain from having anything to do with black magic and palm readers and crystal ball gazers. Refrain from having anything to do with them. The total answer tonight to the devil power, world power, witchcraft power, and sin power is Jesus power. Amen. And thank God He saves and satisfies and secures. Let us look for just a moment at Satan's work. He rebelled against God. He led the angels against God. He deceived our first parents. He has moistened every eye with tears of sorrow and sin and shame. The devil has digged every grave. He's built every jail and every hospital and every mental institution and every funeral home. I was preaching along the other day at a funeral. And I just kind of got beside myself and I just told the undertakers, you better get some other kind of business because you're going to soon be out. Because there won't be any funeral homes in heaven. We all going to heaven before long. You better get some other business. I don't know, they must have thought I was some kind of nut. I'd never done that in my life, but somehow I just said, boys, you better get another business. There won't be any wreaths in heaven. There won't be any funeral homes up there. This is the work of the devil. The devil brought death. If Adam had never sinned, he might be sitting on this front seat tonight. He would never have died physically if it had not been for the devil and sin. He's built every unwanted home for people who are in trouble tonight. He's broken up every marriage and every family and every home and sent little boys and girls out into the world as orphans. That's the work of the devil. I'll never forget, I used to hear my dad preach and he'd get carried away sometimes too. That's where I got to just get it natural. And I've seen my dad when he'd get in some of these preaching moods and preaching about the devil. I'd hear him and I'd see him and he'd say, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask one favor of God. When that old lid is put on the bottomless pit and the devil is down there, I just want to ask God to let me have one favor. Just jump up and down on that pit. And praise God, the devil is forever captured and destroyed. Why, he's broken every heart. He's caused all the misery and sorrow and trouble that this whole world knows about tonight. It's the work of Satan, the work of the devil. But wait, look ahead for a moment. The devil is going to be defeated. He's going to be dethroned. His kingdom's going to be taken away from him. He's going to be cast into a lake of fire. Who, I ask you, who is able to do this? None other than Jesus Christ, our Savior, our coming King. He shall reign on this earth in righteousness and peace and joy. I'm glad tonight that we're serving a God who has all power. A God who is able to defeat Satan. Just as Daniel got the victory, you and I will get the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Keep on fighting, folks. Don't give up. There's no time to retreat tonight. There's no time to lay down arms. There's no time to turn your back. Keep on fighting. Keep on marching. Keep on praying. Keep on witnessing. Keep on winning. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Amen. We shall wear a crown. Well, let's stand. I believe I could defeat the devil tonight myself. Let's stand. Father, we thank Thee tonight. Oh, how we thank Thee for the power of the gospel. How we thank Thee for the assurance of victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. how we thank thee that thou hast promised us eternal and ultimate victory in Christ. Help us tonight to arm ourselves with the gospel, to arm ourselves with the word, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to go out in a world that's wrecked and ruined by sin and by lust and greed and selfishness and heartache and sorrow. Help us to face such a world armed as soldiers of the cross. And when the battle gets weary and the fighting gets more than we can take, when it seems like we'll go down in defeat, when the night is dark and the days are long and restless, help us to look up. Help us to reach up by faith to the nail-scarred hand, and help us to hear again the words of the Scripture, even the words of Jesus: I have overcome the world, and you shall overcome. Defeat the powers of the devil. Give us victory. Give us revival. Give us an impact on this community and on this city as we claim it for Christ. To the tearing down of strongholds with these weapons of the Spirit. If there be those who do not know the Lord Jesus tonight, may they come and trust Him. If there are those who are weary and sad and worn, and those who are almost ready to throw in the towel and give up and say it's no use, may they take a new leash on life tonight. May they step out and let the Holy Spirit arm them with the ammunition to fight the fight of faith against the wiles of the devil. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.